This is Fresh Air. I'm David Bianculli, filling in for Terry Gross. Today we're listening back to Terry's interviews with some of the influential musicians who will be noted for lifetime achievement at next week's Grammy Awards. In a few minutes, we'll hear from David Bowie. Also being honored next week, the group Cream, with Ginger Baker on drums, Jack Bruce on bass, and one of the first musicians to be called a guitar god, Eric Clapton. Terry spoke with Eric Clapton in 1989. In the 60s, Clapton led the British blues revival as a member of the Yardbirds, John Mayall and the Bluesbreakers, and Cream. In the 70s, Clapton's slow hand played Layla and other classics in yet another influential group, Derek and the Dominoes. Since then, his solo recordings have been enormously popular. In 1993, he won 6 Grammys for Unplugged and jump-started a revival of acoustic live recordings by modern pop stars. Last year, Cream reunited for a tour and released a CD and DVD of its performance at Royal Albert Hall. Before we hear Terry's interview with Eric Clapton, let's start with a song featuring one of the most familiar guitar riffs in all of rock and roll.
I'll soon be with you, my love. Give you my dawn surprise.
On something like Sunshine of Your Love, which has this now really famous opening lick, do you consider that part of the composition, or is that something that was added afterwards, and who came up with that?
Well, that's Jack. We went to see Jimi Hendrix. Jimmy was a dear friend of ours, and this was like 1967. There was a theatre in London called the Savile Theatre where everyone at the time was playing, and we went to see Jimmy play there, and Jack and I were in a box looking down, and I think it was the first time Jack had really listened to Jimmy properly, you know, and he was overwhelmed, and that night he went home and wrote that riff, and the song was actually written on the riff. It wasn't added, you know, it was the other way around from the way that you think it. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't add the riff to the song, we added the song to the riff.
You've said that you liked Jack Bruce's irreverence, that you liked him for not trying to be authentic, bluesman.
Yeah, he came in from another area altogether, and he was one of the first musicians that was, and Ginger too, but Jack, in a much more easily identifiable way, was a rebel, musical rebel. You know, he came from a jazz background, and it was one of the he was like one of the first fusion players I'd ever met who was willing to cross jazz into blues and rock and roll all at the same time. He didn't see that there was a musical boundary, and he was a very intellectual, one of the first musical intellectuals that I met. He was deeply into classical music and modern classical music at that, and I was for quite a while under Jack's spell, because he seemed to me to have, you know, the most unique and avant-garde attitude towards music that I'd ever met.
What did Cream bring out in your playing that you hadn't expressed before?
Freedom, I think. During the time that I was with Cream, I was constantly being urged by Jack and Ginger to kind of throw off all of my inhibitions that I'd spent years honing with the Bluesbreakers, for instance, and my blues rule book was supposed to be going out the window, and it often did. You know, when we played live more than any other time, we would simply just improvise, and it would be very hard for me, more than anyone else, to really get rid of my idea of frameworks and structures. You know, I was really the last one to be able to let go of the things that I'd been using to hold me down up until then. With Cream, it came out of a very basic kind of necessity situation. The first gig we ever played at a big jazz festival in England, we ran out of material after about an hour, and the crowd wanted more, and they weren't going to give up, and so we literally had to go and jam, and we found that became the most popular part of our act, was when we didn't have anything set to play, and we would just play off the top of our heads, and it worked. A lot of the time it really worked.
I'm wondering if there were times at concerts when everyone in the band was really high and nearly everybody in the audience was really high, and it would lead to this almost self-indulgent, you know, length in solos. Did you ever feel that way?
Yeah, I can remember playing at the Fillmore many times at Fillmore West when, you know, it was just like being in someone's front room with everyone smashed out of their brains listening to the stereo, and we were the stereo, really.
So was that a good feeling or an alienating feeling?
Well, I'm not going to pretend it was anything but great.
Okay,
I mean, I thought it was fantastic.
The whole Clapton is God period have on you? What effect did it have on you when people were writing that kind of graffiti on walls?
Well, I don't think I actually ever saw it. You know, isn't that the funny thing? I don't think.
Is this
I
all apocryphal? I mean, I can swear I've seen it.
I've only ever heard it said, and I've seen a picture of a wall in London. And it's a funny picture. There's this brick wall in London with Clapton is God written on it in white chalk or paint. I don't know what. And at the bottom of the picture, there's a dog peeing against the wall. You know? And that kind of sums up my attitude towards it. But I don't think I've ever actually seen it in the flesh. So it's all something that I've had to accept from other people. And as far as that goes, it's a bit like someone kind of paying you the highest compliment they can think of. And in that respect, I've tried to learn to accept it graciously.
Mm-hmm.
First, in the early days, I would just I was thoroughly disgusted with the whole thing. But as time has gone by, I've learned to say thank you.
Eric Clapton, please.
That was Cream, with Eric Clapton, Jack Bruce, and Ginger Baker playing Crossroads by Robert Johnson. Coincidentally, the late Robert Johnson is another Lifetime Achievement honoree at next week's Grammy Awards. Terry spoke with Eric Clapton in 1989.